Hey, Regen, my name is Dave. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from PTSD, pornography, and seeking to find comfort in alcohol. Great to be with you tonight. If you're here for the very first time tonight, we are so glad you're here. You've started out 2024 in the best possible way. And the way that I introduced myself is the way in which all of our people who come up front are going to introduce themselves. And because you've come to a place that's really honest and transparent, I want to tell you a little bit about my introduction. Here's what I need you to know. I don't necessarily need Jesus to get better from PTSD. I don't really even need Jesus to stop looking at pornography. I don't need Jesus to stop drinking. People do that all the time, everywhere, apart from Jesus. But I can never have a new life apart from Jesus. And that's really what Regen is all about. As a matter of fact, over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about what it means to have a relationship with God through Jesus, something the Bible refers to as salvation. And you're going to see all the details, this new life we have in Christ. And tonight, we're going to begin by looking at the concept of regeneration. How about that? You came to Regeneration tonight to learn about regeneration and what that means biblically. We're going to look at an interchange that Jesus has with a religious leader of his day when he makes it very clear that you and I need to have a new life in Christ in order to have a relationship with God. So, without any further ado, if you have a Bible, turn with me to John chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, we're going to project the text behind me. If you need a Bible, let us know. We'd be glad to get you one. John chapter 3, verse 1. There is a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Let me give you some background here so you understand what's going on, because this is kind of an awkward conversation, isn't it? Nicodemus is a Pharisee. The Pharisees were a religious sect. During the time of Jesus, they were very strict in all that they did. But here was what they were about. They had looked at the history of Israel and they determined, we don't ever want to go into exile again because we're disobedient to God. So they created rules and traditions and things that went beyond the Bible so they never sinned against God. And Nicodemus not only knows the Bible backwards and forth, he's very committed to doing the right things and avoid doing the wrong things. And he's just not any Pharisee. He's a ruler of the Pharisees. He's a leader religiously. And look at when he comes to Jesus. When does he come to Jesus? He comes at night. John, who writes this gospel, loves to paint pictures with his scenery. And we have this concept of light and darkness. And when we see darkness in the gospel of John, it indicates that someone is without spiritual understanding. Someone doesn't get it. Someone doesn't understand who Jesus actually is. And so immediately we see this irony of a religious leader, knows his Bible well, is meticulous in keeping its rules, comes to Jesus, and he comes in darkness. He doesn't even recognize Jesus. And then to make matters worse, Jesus is very confrontational. He actually compliments Jesus and says, "No one can do the things that you do unless they're of God." And Jesus says, "Hey, unless you're born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God." Wow, that's not really a conversation starter I would lead in with. And then it goes to a really weird place where Nicodemus gives us pictures and images that we don't even want to think about. And Jesus then begins to talk about a concept that's repeated over and over in this text. When you and I study the Bible, it's important to look at repeated words and themes, and we get this idea of being born again, of new birth. Three things I want us to think about tonight as we look at this passage. First thing I want you to see is simply this. We are spiritually dead apart from Jesus. Do you see that in the text? Here is someone who's committed to religion. Here's someone who knows the Old Testament, the Bible that was present in the day of Jesus, backwards and forth, probably has much of it memorized, has committed his life to doing right things and avoiding doing wrong things. And when he shows up to Jesus, Jesus looks at him and says, that's not enough. You need to be born a second time. Nicodemus, as you're coming to me in your natural state, you'll never see the kingdom of God. You'll never be in that place where God rules over his people. Are you spiritually dead tonight? My story is a pretty simple story. My mom was an alcoholic, and as a part of her recovery and moving towards sobriety, she came to faith in Jesus. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and soon my dad came to faith, and my mom and dad began to drag me and my little brother to church, and I was there for 3 to 4 years, sometimes multiple times during the course of a week. I heard the Bible studies. I heard the sermons. People sang songs, and I looked around me. People were really into Jesus. People seemed to be connected to God, but in every way possible, just didn't register with me. Just didn't make a difference. Really didn't mean anything. Didn't really have a relationship with God. Wasn't interested in that, even though I was surrounded by it. That, by definition, is the essence of being spiritually dead. When you're dead, you're totally unresponsive, right? That's what medical experts do when they assess your well-being. If you're unresponsive, you are dead. To be spiritually dead means you are unresponsive to God. Is that where you are tonight? Are you spiritually alive or are you spiritually dead? If you're spiritually dead, guess what? I got good news for you, and it's my second point, and that is this. God freely gives us new life in Jesus. Do you see the word picture here? Jesus says the work of God, the Holy Spirit, is like the wind. Being in Texas, we know all about wind, don't we? We may not be experts in much, but we know about wind. It comes, it goes. We have no control over it. We don't know where it's coming from, and that's the point Jesus is making. We don't know where it's going. We simply see the effect of the wind. I thought about that this week, and I thought if I could come up with a patented invention, I would create these huge fans that would control the wind. And I'd put one down, like by Houston, in the Gulf of Mexico, so when it gets really cold here in North Texas, we just turn on that fan, and it blows warm, humid air up the state. And then I'd put another one, like in Colorado, so when it becomes a furnace here in the summer, we get that cool rocky mountain. We just turn it on like, it's like air conditioning. Wouldn't that be amazing? But the point is, you and I don't control the wind, nor do we control God. But God, in his grace and in his kindness and in his mercy, he freely gives us new life in Jesus. So how do you and I know whether or not we have new life? How do you and I know whether or not God has been so kind to grant us new life? That's a great question. That's a question you should look at and answer on a regular basis. Here's the third and last point tonight. You and I know we have new life when we believe in Jesus. Listen to this. The very words of the same gospel writer, John, in John chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. You and I know that we've received new life when we believe in Jesus. We're talking about regeneration. Let me give you a specific definition for regeneration. What does that mean? And I'm not talking about the curriculum you go through or the program or the ministry of the church. Here's biblically what regeneration means. It's that God gives spiritual life to his people who were previously spiritual dead. When you see people coming up here, and you're going to see someone in just a minute come and share his story, and someone says, I have new life in Christ, in essence, what they're saying is, I'm regenerate. I once was dead. I'm not an improved version of my old self. I'm not reformed. No, I'm an entirely new person. I'm not reformed. I'm regenerate. I was dead and now I'm alive, and I'm alive to be someone entirely new in Jesus. That's the kind gift of God to us. And the way that you and I know that we have new life is we believe in Jesus. We trust in Jesus. At Regen, there's three steps that we really want to emphasize. You're going to find this out. This is going to be a preview for some of you if you're new here tonight. And if you've been here for a while, this will be a review. Three steps. The first one is just admitting the fact that you're helpless to have a relationship with God apart from God. There's nothing you can do like Nicodemus. He can't study any more passages. He can't keep any more commandments. There's nothing he can do because dead people can't do things. There's nothing you can do. You need God's help. The second thing we do is we believe that Jesus is who he says he is. We believe that Jesus is God in human skin. He lived the only perfect life that's ever been lived. He died the death that you and I deserve to die, and he is risen bodily, physically from the dead. He's at the right hand of the Father. One day, perhaps soon, he'll return. And through his life and death and resurrection, you and I can have his perfect record of keeping the law. You and I can be forgiven of sin. You and I can be free to live a life in which we know, love, trust, and obey him. And then the third component of really experiencing and believing in Jesus, we admit, we believe, and then we trust. We trust in him. We put our faith in him. We lean into him. We acknowledge with head, heart, and hands and all that we are that, Jesus, you're the only way I can have a reconciled relationship with God. Have you come to that place in your life where you've experienced a new life by believing in Jesus? I was at a youth gathering, and a visiting pastor pulled me aside and took me over to the corner of the room. All the other students were milling about, and he opened up the Bible. And I'd heard this story many times, and he told me one more time the story of Jesus, but this time it was different. I felt two things simultaneously. One thing I felt was an overwhelming sense of guilt before God, a burden over my brokenness, a sense that I was both indifferent and rebellious towards God, and that wasn't okay. And yet at the same time, I felt this incredibly warm invitation to come to God through Jesus. I felt both guilty and loved at the same time. And for the first time in my life, I believed. And that belief was the evidence that God had brought me new life. Will you believe tonight? If you're here and you're already a Christian, would you deepen your faith tonight? As you break into small groups here in just a minute, would you remind each other how important it is that we trust in Jesus? Would you talk openly about where you are in your journey of trusting Jesus? If you're here tonight and you've never trusted in him, why not now? Why not this night? What is tonight? January 8th, is that right? January 8th, 2024, the night in which you experienced a new life in Christ for the first time. Believe. Would you trust in him? Would you admit that you are a sinner and you are separated from him? You're dead and there's nothing you can do about that. Would you receive his free gift of new life? Would you trust in Jesus? Would you lean into Jesus? Would you believe that Jesus took your place? Your sin became his sin and his righteousness is now your righteousness. And now with a new life in Christ, not only are you forgiven of sin, you're free to be a person who knows, loves, trusts, and obeys Jesus. So glad you're here tonight. So thankful that we have a God who's rich in mercy and grace, and he offers us new life in Jesus. Will you experience his gift of regeneration tonight?